1 to 2 p.m. Tune in to Department Uno to hear the latest and greatest from the CJSF playlist, featuring all new music from local, Canadian, and international artists. Fresh releases from the music department every week on Department Uno, only on CJSF 90.1 FM. Greetings, netizens. Join us every Tuesday evening from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific for Bitcoover FM, featuring the best in chiptune, video game soundtracks, synthesized music, history of electronic instruments, and more, right here on CJSF 90.1 FM. We'll see you in the virtual plaza, and remember to synthesize with nostalgia.
Welcome to Screen Therapy. I'm your host, Jason Schurz. In October of 2018, I found myself in the hospital, sitting across from a psychiatrist who was telling me I had bipolar. I was sent home with a bunch of medication and laid on the couch for a week. I had my iTunes library on shuffle, trying to shake the hornet's nest from my head. Ever since I was a kid, I've been using loud music as a form of therapy. Punk rock and mental health have always been connected. This podcast looks at that connection through the lens of different guests. This is Screen Therapy. It's important to know what we're dealing with when it comes to different mental health conditions. This is usually handled through a diagnosis, either self-sought or given by a health professional after a crisis. For some, having a diagnosis isn't important. Some people consider it a label that isn't necessary for self-care and mental health management. Ali Jados of Chicago post-punk band Violets has been careful not to pathologize her struggles. Instead, she focuses on the things she loves, like playing in a punk rock band, and tries not to feed her painful emotions. Funneling her ups and downs into creative pursuits, Ali has learned how to be productive during the highs and introspective during the lows. Ultimately, mental health is about awareness. Whether that awareness includes a diagnosis or a medical label, or if it's just knowing how to live the best life we can in this world, stability is the key.
My name is Ali Jados. I am a musician, artist in Chicago. I've been playing in bands since I was like 15, 16 years old, and struggled with mental health starting in my teen years through adult life, you know, just with depression, anxiety, I guess, OCD, ADHD, that kind of stuff.
For me, I live with bipolar and also ADHD, and I've thought a lot about how I parse those two things out. What is the bipolar symptoms? What's the ADHD symptoms? Is there a Venn diagram?
Being a creative person, I think that you're just like kind of bound to like come across those things more so and draw correlations to it naturally by being creative, because it's like inquisitive of feelings and it filters into the creativity, because there's like certain things that you're looking for an outlet to like get out of you. And that's why I think it's so important to be making art and stuff like that if you do struggle with mental health, because there gives it a place to be.
You mentioned being in bands since you were young. Do you remember what it was like to get into a band at first and to express yourself?
Music was always like something that just really resonated so hard with me. It was like my life. That was all that mattered. And, you know, I started playing guitar when I was like 12. And I just knew, like, you know, that was like something that I was like, I wanted to do and like be in a band. And, you know, I always gravitated more towards heavier, like aggressive music, like more like metal and punk music, playing that kind of thing. Like, I don't know if like I really understood it at the time, but yeah, like playing aggressive music, it was just hearing it being loud. I think loud music calms the voice inside. So, and that felt good, you know. I mean, your podcast is called like Scream Therapy.
Yeah.
Definitely, I think singing allows, again, screaming, singing allows, again, for somewhere for those energies to go into the ether. So I definitely think that that was therapeutic for me to like sing and be in a band and feel that power of self-empowerment, being that distortion or being that aggression.
Yeah, and it sounds like you're very aware of that now. Back then, maybe not as much. Do you remember when you were younger thinking about mental health issues and maybe how it did relate to the music? Or was it more like, I'm going to use the music to cope and distract myself, and then learning a bit later in life what you're actually dealing with?
Yeah, I mean, I think when you're young, you don't have any weight of life yet. I was obsessed with Kurt Cobain. I like kind of associated the pain I was feeling with him, and I was like relating so hard with him, and the feeling was so strong with connecting with these bands and, you know, these people. But I don't know, I've always been kind of like more of an old soul, so like I think I had a little bit more weight of what those kind of things meant. But I mean, you know, you just don't know how to put it into words or react with it at that time when you're young like that. I think the most I struggled with was like when I was like 12 to like 15, like, and not having that outlet maybe. You know, I was like learning guitar at that point, but I wasn't in a band like expressing it at that. So I think that was like the time that I actually struggled the most was when I was like 12 to 15.
Do you remember the first band that you saw or heard that really affected you and really spoke to you?
Oh my God. Metallica and Nirvana were like my two like first loves and like the heavy genres. I mean, I always loved the Beatles and everything like that, but I'm like trying to think of like the first concert I went to that was like, whoa. It might have been Alice Cooper and Steppenwolf. I think I was 12 years old. I think my dad took me, and it was like, Alice Cooper is pretty impactful for anyone.
Yeah.
I've been to so many concerts and I have all the ticket stubs, but trying to think at like 12 years old, that's what comes to mind, the Alice Cooper show.
Yeah, lots of decapitating and guillotines, mm-hmm. and costumes and
I feel like that show was pretty tame because it was outdoor. So I don't think it was like a huge
okay.
theatrical production, but I do remember it making an impact. So
You mentioned OCD and ADHD, obsessive compulsive disorder, and attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. And I don't like the words disorder.
sure.
But can you tell me a little bit about OCD? Because that's something that a lot of people deal with, but in very different ways. It means something to one person, and to the next person, it means something different. So how does it affect your life or your day-to-day?
It's funny because I feel like I've had it for a long time, but I never really realized it. Like I had a friend of mine who also has it, like kind of pointed out to me. ADHD, like, you can hyper focus on what you want to hyper focus on, but then it's like other things, like the thoughts come in and out real quickly, and it's like it doesn't grab your attention. It's like kind of like, okay, if you ruminate or like spiral on things, like that's where the OCD comes in. Can't get off of it, can't get over it, can't get off of it, can't get over it. It can be maddening. If you're aware of it, catching yourself in these like obsessive tendencies, like just like researching stuff, ruminating on something you said, and you're like, oh, or like a situation, it's like those kind of things can like drive a person mad.
And labeling someone with a certain condition or even self-labeling can be really challenging because it's really symptoms-based. So for one person, you mentioned the ruminating and the spiraling and not being able to stop thinking about something. To me, I've always thought, well, maybe that's the bipolar or the ADHD. Ultimately, what really matters is what you're going through and how you manage it. You need a label to kind of explain and read up on and relate to other people, but ultimately it's what are the symptoms?
I'm kind of the mind, I don't really like labels. Like, I think they can be helpful in certain cases, but I also think that you keep associating yourself. For me, like, I don't try to focus on, oh, I have ADHD or OCD or whatever. I know that I have those tendencies and I know that, but I don't try to like associate with them because I just don't want to feed them. I try to be aware of it and then like kind of like try to divert, but also like, that's just part of who I am too. So I just try to embrace those things and like try to navigate my focus on things that I love
Yeah.
that can be more beneficial, I guess. Over time, I guess you get better at it.
Well, putting the strengths of these conditions into art and music and any kind of creativity, I think is important. It's hard for me not to get beaten down or wallowing in the symptoms that are negative, like for instance, feeling really low and sad. Well, maybe if I go downstairs and grab a notepad or the guitar, maybe I can write something that would be putting that into a channel or going for a walk or whatever the case may
Totally.
be.
Practicing the flip the switch, like throw on a song super loud in your car. That'll change your mood instantly. You can't listen to like Sabbath, like super loud and still be in like the same world as you were when it wasn't on. It's just not possible. So that's kind of a cool thing with music. It can really change your mood and change your thoughts. So I feel like everybody to an extent has, some of these tendencies or whatever, but it's like navigating them and funneling them into like, like you said, like going on a walk or putting on music or playing the guitar, like trying to have a creative outlet for that. It's so important. And I feel like you don't have to just do it for a living or whatever to like have those outlets. They're so accessible now. Music is very accessible to put on, play a song real quick. It's really recognizing that you're in this pattern or your cycle and like being like, oh, I got to get out.
What was the first band that you played in where you were really channeling that creativity and using music as an outlet? Do you remember what that was or how it felt at the time?
I practiced in my parents' basement with my longtime friend Jeff. We had a two-piece band for a long time. I remember just feeling like in my element, you know, it just made me feel like I had something, you know, like it was like I could always go to that. If you didn't fit in here, you didn't fit in there, whatever, you always kind of had the band where you were like, okay, this is my thing, where I feel connected.
And how has it adapted since then for the band that you're doing now and other music you've done in the last few years?
I mean, same thing. Like, it's just like, you know, I want to express and I want to be singing. I feel like singing is like really that scream therapy. I feel like that's something that has helped me. I don't think like really like socially acceptable to just go out and scream all over the place. So it's like when you can scream with meaning and with some weight behind it, and it's a good outlet for me.
And a lot of people have unhealthy outlets. So to find one that is healthy and productive and creative is really special.
Yeah, for sure. It really is. Really is. And I feel like everybody like innately has that. It's just finding it.
Some people that I've come across in the music world and in creative worlds worry, especially a lot of folks with bipolar who are on medication and have had times when they're manic and really like productive and creative and can write a million songs in a weekend or whatever. If they're medicated and more stable, with that comes this, I guess, maturity or like more grounded place. But they sometimes do worry, well, how am I going to be creative if I'm not, my mind's not moving that fast. I'm wondering what you think about that and some of the things that you've gone through and how they created art or how you're able to adjust to it now.
I gotta say, I do like embrace and love like sometimes when I am manic, because it is kind of a gift, you know. I get like so excited. I mean, it's so excited. I get the ideas. I can't even keep up with it. So sometimes it's like overwhelming to get in those modes. David Lynch said, you gotta have a setup. That was like one of the things that he said that I was like, oh man, like for an artist or somebody that has these like manic periods, it's like you gotta have a setup. You gotta be able to like, if you're in that state, got to go and make the art, like whether it's painting, whether it's songwriting, whatever. So it's like having that setup is essential for to make the most use out of that. That can be a gift. With high highs, there's low lows. So like being aware of that too, that pendulum swinging and being like, what can I do with these lows? How can I cope with those things and have those coping mechanisms that are like, obviously not like drugs or alcohol, because that's just counterproductive. Again, I struggled with that for years, but now I don't drink anymore. Finding ways, again, to like utilize those moments through creativity. I make it productive or whatever, because that's just like what I like to do, but that's life, I guess, too.
Good old David Lynch. That's actually some really cool insight there. I hadn't really thought about it like that.
Yeah.
Sometimes I just get stuck in the mood episodes and I don't realize that those episodes can be used for different things. And having the setup when I'm stable in the middle, it's like, okay, this is the time to plan things out and then use the energy of the two poles, as it were.
Taking the time to like be aware the times that you are having these feelings and then like having your outlets, but having a place that's like set up for it. Sometimes if you're feeling inspired, it doesn't matter if the inspiration can come and go in like, you know, minutes or whatever. But if you don't have a setup, if you don't have, so say your guitar out or like somewhere you can easily access your painting, your paintbrushes. So be ready for that, but also be ready for those other moments of, okay, what are the comfort things that I can do if I'm in this low mode? Have a plan, I guess.
What do you do to manage your mental health and find peace during times when you're not doing well or having some symptoms that are hard to get on top of?
Well, it's hard to like in those moments, like get and just do the things, but going for a walk, I think moving your body always helps, whether it's just going on a walk or going to yoga or going on a run, like just moving the energy in your body is so important. It will change your mood to move your body. The body holds the energy and the all of the pain and all that. So it's, you want to move the energy through wherever it's being stuck.
Other than making punk rock and screaming and playing shows with your friends, what other things do you use to, enrich yourself, or what things do you sort of subscribe to that help with your creativity or your mental health or just life in general?
Meditation's always good. I've gotten better with it over the years. I do yoga, but they say the hardest part in yoga is the end, Shavasana, where you're just laying because it's just you and your thoughts. That's a really hard thing to do and to master. So being mindful of that and being able to like maybe try and meditate even 5 minutes a day, closing your eyes and just clearing your thoughts, allow the thoughts to go by as clouds. Those aren't you. I'm into astrology too, to like use that as a tool to like navigate the psyche. It is a complex study, but I think it really can be beneficial. Puts like a concreteness about, or like a rational, tangible thing you can see about how your energy operates. In astrology, like it's like your birth chart is like a snapshot of what the sky was, like how your energy resonates with the cosmos. And so a lot of people think it's like woo-woo or whatever, but when you really get into it, because you can kind of dismiss anything when you see it face value and like whatever, but it's very layered and very complex. But when I can put things into words and see them and like see how this interacts with the other planets going around and how my understanding energies, I think, is really important in having awareness. And that's what it's all about in astrology. But also, like, mental health is like, it's about awareness and being open to be able to look at yourself, like, honestly. And like, I think astrology helps with that because it's just right there. It's like matter of fact, it's objective. And then you put those things on, you layer the things, and then it's like, okay, I can see that. If you're willing to see those things. You got to be willing to see it too.
How did you get into that?
I mean, I've always kind of been into like esoteric or like occult things. I think I picked up a book in New Orleans one time, like a beginner book. And then from there, like just talking around. And now I have a teacher that I've worked with for years, and it's helped me like significantly. I mean, like I said, you have to be open to it. You have to be open to like seeing your flaws. And a lot of times it's not everyone's favorite thing to do.
Has it helped to calm your mind and some of the OCD and ADHD symptoms? I'm picturing you getting into more like a study and then that calming you down, or?
Yeah, I mean, I think at first it can be like overwhelming. It's a lot, it's layered, but you're tapping into like some things that like energy frequencies that you can't really see. And so it's like you can feel them. But that's the thing with like mental health too. You can't see it. So it's like giving you like a little bit of a visual or like helping to understand how those complex elements of life interact with each other. And therefore, like making you maybe feel a little bit more understood, at least to yourself and the world around you.
Yeah.
Everybody just wants to be seen. Everybody just wants to be like understood to an extent.
Kind of sounds like getting into the punk scene and walking through the doors and realizing that you've got a place and that people see you.
Totally. Totally. The misfits, you know?
That was my conversation with Ali Jados of Violets, violets2.bandcamp.com. For more episodes of Screen Therapy, go to screentherapyhq.com or wherever you listen to podcasts. Big news, the Screen Therapy book is available now. Screen Therapy, A Punk Journey Through Mental Health, tells my story and the stories of others who use punk as a catalyst for mental health. Like this podcast, it links the community-minded punk scene with the mental wellness of the punks who belong to it. To order the book, go to screentherapyhq.com. For merch, check out screentherapy.threadless.com. Okay, enough promoting. It's time for some thanking. Thank you for listening to Screen Therapy. Doing this podcast and talking to folks about punk rock and mental health has been a crucial part of my own mental stability, and it means so much to me that you're out there listening. Screen Therapy is created in the Cathet region of coastal British Columbia, Canada, on the traditional territory of the Klahaman Nation. Contact me at screentherapyhq.com or email me at screentherapypodcast@gmail.com. I'd love to hear from you. Let's talk about punk rock and mental health. Until next time, take care and be well.
This is a tune called Postal Code. Ever since I moved closer to the mountainside, I finally see the rain and the stars are clear in the sky. This little town is slowly shrinking down to half the size. Maybe it's you, maybe it's me, maybe the truth just isn't that deep. You asked me to stay, I lied through. The fall to rock bottom isn't that steep. I can't stop running out. Nothing's fixed by a brand new postal code. I'm driving Granite, I remember back to Baker Street. The cowboy hat cassette.
Diverse,
independent, yours. You're listening to CJSF 90.1 FM.